What happens is most of the stores that were selling dogs, they're not there anymore. They're actually gone. And what I noticed was I was hearing about this. Apparently, there were a whole lot of people who started selling dogs on Craigslist.
Hi, I'm Heidi Harriet. Welcome to Animal Tales, where we talk about my favorite subject, animals. My guest today is someone who reached out to me after finding the podcast and listening to it, both the Doggone Good and Animal Tales. She relayed through her email that she was somebody who thought, like many people do, that pet stores are bad, that the adopt-don't-shop is probably a good thing, and that we should go to shelters and rescues. Well, then she had some personal experience, including having a dog sold by a rescue group that was supposed to be fostering it. And it led her down a road of doing some homework and actually, to her credit, looking at facts and statistics and data and trying to find sources, digging deep. And I thought her story was certainly worth telling. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Emily. Hello, Emily. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate that you reached out to me by email to tell your story and said that you appreciated the podcast because it provided a different story than, you know, a lot of us, other people are hearing. You and I have had different experiences. But if you're listening to the mainstream media or the shelters or the popular emotional narrative, people aren't hearing the things that you wrote to me about and the things that I personally have experienced and have expertise in. So let's start by telling me why you reached out. You articulated your story for me. And let's bring the viewers, the listeners into that as well.
Okay. Yeah. What made me reach out to you was the, so I listened to some of the episodes of your show, and one of the people you had on the show, I think her name was Mindy Patterson. I actually spoke with her last year because, where I live in Las Vegas, you know, Clark County,
yeah,
the commissioner's board, they basically banned the pet stores here from selling, you know, dogs and a few other animals. And, I reached out to her and told her what was going, you know, I reached out to her and, she, you know, because I'd heard of her organization, you know, the cavalry group. So,
yeah.
So, you know, we got into a conversation, you know, about that because,
why were you concerned about them banning pet stores? That's the adopt don't shop movement. Why did that concern
you? Right. Well, I was concerned because, my thing is I support, you know, freedom of choice, like whether people want to buy a dog or, you know, get one from elsewhere, you know, get one from elsewhere. And here's the thing. I've actually bought dogs from pet stores. The current dog my family has now, she's a 12-year-old Maltese Yorkie mix that we got from a local pet store here, and we just love that. We just love that dog. She's very well behaved, and the thing that she does is my dad is diabetic, so she can detect when his blood sugar goes up and down.
Awesome.
I've also had a couple other dogs that were purchased from pet stores, and so my experience with pet stores, you know, it's how can I put this? You know, I've heard of, you know, different stories from people, and I just kind of started looking into it. You know, I'm like, is the, you know, like, some things just didn't make sense to me. So I just started doing, you know, my own research. And then when I heard your podcast, I was actually glad to learn that you were speaking about the same thing because I kept thinking somebody else has to be talking about this because there's so many people, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. They just hear what the media puts out. And I'm finding that there's a lot of misinformation about this industry.
Mm-hmm. And when you say this industry, you're referring from your email.
The pet industry.
The pet industry as a whole. And when I think of that, I think of the various parts of that, which is the shelters, the rescues, and we're talking about private and county, government, all of that. Then we're talking about breeders and pet stores that purchase breeders, and then you have auctions and those types of things. So all of that makes up the pet, particularly dog is what we're talking about here.
Yes, exactly. That's what I
mean. Your experience, let's back up to your experience. I think this was many years ago where you had a pet that was it lost and then taken away, or how did that transpire? Someone stole your pet.
Here's what happened it was late 2011, like December, and the townhouse where my family was living, it went into foreclosure, so we had to move. And at the time, the place we were moving to, they only allowed us to have one dog, so we had two. We had two at the time, and I couldn't take my dog with me. And so we found this rescue, which also did boarding. So we told them, we asked them to, watch the dog. We paid for her. We paid, boarding fees and brought her food and everything. And finally, when we got clearance from the people we were renting from to have a second dog, We contacted the rescue and we told them, we're gonna come get our dog. And they said, oh, no problem. She'll be here when you come pick her up. And that was a Wednesday. We found out That was that phone call took place on a Wednesday, and we were going to pick her up Friday. Well, we found out that they had adopted her out the very next day.
Wow.
And of course I was, how could I put this? I just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe what happened. And we didn't find this out until after she was gone, but there was a family who they had a couple of kids and they had seen my dog online. They posted her picture online. I didn't know that they posted her online without my permission until I saw her photo on one of the pet adoption websites.
Wow.
And I mean, wait a minute. Why is my dog's picture on this website? So we found out that this family, they had come and they looked at her three different times and they said they wanted her. And I tried for the longest to get her back, and sad to say, I raised her from the time she was 10 weeks old.
What kind of dog was it?
It broke my heart. She was a beagle.
Oh, okay. So you didn't end up getting her back?
No, I tried and I wasn't able to get her back.
Wow.
Wow. And I have no idea who's had her all these years.
Right.
Because they wouldn't tell me.
Hmm. Interesting. It's not a completely uncommon story, unfortunately.
No. And the crazy thing about it that happened to me was I put up a post on Facebook, that I was, looking for my dog. And do you know these people, for almost 12 hours, they kept bothering me on Facebook, telling me, basically stop looking for my dog and what have you. And I just, it was like, wait a minute, you gave my dog to someone else when we had a boarding agreement. So I just felt like, I just felt, It was a very emotional situation. And the thing of it is, I'd gotten that. That was my first dog I'd ever bought at a pet store.
Yeah.
So I had all her paperwork and everything to prove that she was mine. And if you can tell, I've read as much, but I have a necklace with her name tag on it.
Oh. Huh.
So
that's nice. Nice way to honor her. Well, I hate what happened to you, but I hope she's got a good home.
Yeah, her name is Rudy.
Okay. So let's talk now about you. One of the things you sent me was a clip from the Washington Post interview where, you know, again, back to the Adopt Don't Shop movement, saying that the dogs that they get at to sell at the pet stores come from horrible sources. We don't know where they come from, all of that. But yet, about the auctions and who attends the auctions and who are getting dogs at the auctions.
Right. Yeah. And what happened was I saw that article. It originally came out in 2018. And the journalist who wrote it, she has a book called, I think it's called The Dog Merchant. And you can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
And she went to these auctions and she found out these different rescues were buying these dogs that came from, you know, different breeders. And what they would do is they would take these, they would take the dogs and then market them as rescued from, you know, from puppy mills. And the thing of it is they're buying dogs from the same breeders that were selling to the pet stores. So right. The first thing I thought, this is hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's this hypocrisy. It's plain as day.
Called retail rescue by the people who really know the depths of it, because the shelters are really just at some level annoyed that, and the rescues, that they have to compete with the pet stores and the breeders. And not to throw everybody under the bus, because certainly there are good folks at shelters and rescues, but just so much more to this story, and you don't hear that. You only hear the emotional, get your dog from a shelter or rescue. And I appreciate that you've done some homework on this. What else have you uncovered, or what else revealed in your homework about this whole issue, the depth of it?
Well, what happens is I started, you know, looking into like some of these, you know, different rescue groups and also like the Humane Society and what have you. And how I found out about this whole pet store thing was, I think it was back in 2004 or 2007. I don't remember the year. Oprah, back when her show was still on television, she did an episode on, you know, where they went to Pennsylvania. And they showed all these different kennels where the dogs were living. And then years later, the Humane Society and the Animal Planet Channel, they did an investigation of Petland about where they were getting their dogs from. And I've actually been to a couple of Petland stores myself. And when that documentary came out, you know, it just kind of made me wonder, like, if, you know, what didn't make sense to me is they claim that all these dogs are living in substandard conditions and they're sick. Right. And I'm like, wait a minute, how is it possible that these kennels can stay in business for an X number of years selling sick animals? It's like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So I started doing some research and I found out that the case with Petland that, I think it was a Supreme Court that they took it to, actually dismissed the case because there wasn't enough evidence to back the Humane Society's claims.
Wow. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. In any other facet of life, we would probably demand a bit more information. So, okay, there was a sick dog somewhere along the line that somebody publicized heavily, but yet they don't do diligence on the other side of it and portray what happens at the shelters and rescues as well. And it's just amazing that very intelligent people and well-meaning individuals fall for this over and over and over again. I mean, I'm
And I'll be honest with you, for a while, I thought is, you know, I mean, I'm no different. I fell for it for a few years when I was younger, but then as I got older and started, you know, looking into it more, I realized, wait a minute, this is basically a bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
And because I used to see some of the different, you know, commercials for the ASPCA, you know, how like they had that one, the other one was Sarah McLachlan in it from the early 2000s. Yeah. I saw that commercial all the time. And then how I found out that was a facade was somebody on YouTube posted a video. I don't remember. It was some years ago. Somebody on YouTube posted a video that showed how this footage that they had was staged.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be the same thing, I think, with Ringling Brothers and the Elephants. They found out that some of that footage was, I can speak to that personally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
it's interesting, Emily. One of my recent podcasts was about the Adopt Don't Shop movement. And I interviewed Chris from Pinnacle Pet, who actually helps.
One of my dogs came from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He helps source, he connects the breeders and the pet stores. And now there's actually something called canine care certification out of Purdue University where they're,
I've heard of that too.
And I'm fine with that. Keep making sure the standards are good. Keep upping the game. And then I had Dan Cohn from Sunshine Puppies on. So I share the episode, you know, doing my diligence to get my podcast out there. And I share it with a group called, I think, the Dog Moms of Tampa Bay. And I got harassed. I mean, unbelievably. I invited all of them to come on the podcast and talk about it online, you know, on air. And then I actually recently got a message that I might be in Facebook jail for content that's not harmful. What's the word? I'm still up, so we'll see what happens. But I took screenshots of everything, and here's a quick example that. And I just say when I post the episode, I said there's more to the story. Here's another aspect of the story. This is the adopt, don't shop movement and the consequences of it, right? Because everybody just jumps on that bandwagon. That being said, interestingly, I live in Pinellas County, Florida, which is the St. Pete Clearwater area. And our county commissioner actually wrote a piece in the paper kind of saying what we're saying, which is there's really more to the story and we don't need to ban pet stores. Let's just make sure they have, you know, they have the criteria. Heck, the animal abuse laws all over the countries are strong. All over the country are strong. Mm-hmm. So we just need to utilize laws in place. We don't need to ban any particular segment of a legal regulated industry. So that's kind of what I said. And this is a woman, and not there's no statistics in any of these dozen plus replies or. Some of them are really kind of nasty, but the issue is half the dogs are sick. Half the dogs don't have proper vaccinations. You're beating a moot point when you're talking about dogs from pet stores, especially since that's becoming a thing of the past due to puppy mills and people now knowing about it. So that's her response to when I ask intelligent questions of the group. And I went in Petland the other day in my area. And I didn't even realize what I was in. I was actually looking for a collar. I'm a dog trainer. And I was looking for a specific collar. And I just saw a pet. And I'm thinking pet store. And I ran in. And then they had puppies in there, which you don't see, of course, at Petco or PetSmart now. They're all adoptions, right? They're still selling puppies, but nonetheless, right?
Exactly. That's what I try to tell people. Right. They deny it.
And some of those puppies could have come for breeders at these auctions. But nonetheless... So they had cute puppies, and right there listed beside each puppy was its pedigree, pictures of its parents, and they're required to have all their shots. So, I mean, it's such an inaccurate and uneducated statement, you know. And I say, hey, this is a important conversation, so please come on my podcast and let's talk about it. Nobody... And then one woman says about Purdue, the last time I checked, Purdue was not publicly releasing the parameters of its compliance without a signed non-disclosure. I sat in a room with Dan, who looked me in the eye and said breeders who wanted to pay Purdue for compliance could receive a seal of approval. Purdue University, Dr. Crony, who's done such important work and does it because she cares about the animals. And that's the kind of feedback, right, that it's just unbelievable. I could go on. I'll post some of it online in show notes. But this your email was just so timely because I was getting this kind of, these are the nice ones, but there's some harassing ones and some. And, you know, God forbid they would just take a moment, which I would ask anybody listening to this, to just take a moment and really consider that there would be more to the story of adopt, don't shop not being the best thing for the animals. And why, you said it a minute ago, why are pet stores still in business? Because people still want a choice. This isn't the outcry from the mainstream. This is the outcry from the animal rights groups like the HSUS and the Shelters of Rescues who compete with, they're competing with the pet stores, so they don't want them to be in business, right?
Right. And how I came across that they were, that that some of these pet stores were being, outlawed from told to stop selling dogs was I first heard about it back in 2009 when California started, and it was actually in my hometown, Los Angeles, because there was a pet store at this mall called the Beverly Center. I used to go there back in the 90s when I was a kid, look at the dogs and, sure. Things like that. And they had some very cute, dogs. And what I found out was that store, they had been there, I think, since the 80s. And all of a sudden they just closed. Then I'm trying to figure out what happened. And then turns out somebody had said that they were getting these dogs from all these substandard breeders. And so the people who owned the Beverly Center, they wouldn't renew the store's lease. So closed.
Yeah.
Store closed. And I was stunned. I'm like, you're putting a small business, you're putting a small business out over somebody being dishonest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not fair. Cause you're putting a whole bunch of people out of work when it's not necessary.
And you talked about California in your email to me that, for those who don't know, California instituted a statewide, ban on puppy stores.
Yeah. So I was angry.
Yeah. Breeders could still sell, but you mentioned there's really now like a black market and people go out of state. Can you talk to that a little bit about what people are doing there,
And I just wanted to explain a little bit more about that. What happens is most of the stores that were selling dogs, they're not there anymore. They're actually gone. Mm-hmm. They're actually gone. And, what I noticed was I was hearing about this. Apparently there were a whole lot of people who started selling dogs on Craigslist because the stores weren't there anymore.
Right.
So there were more listings on Craigslist. And then during the pandemic, there were several applications of people getting breeders licenses in the LA area.
Yeah.
And that was because, during the pandemic, everybody and their grandma was getting a dog.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was kind of, I was surprised. And actually, one of the people I knew here who was the manager of a pet store, which I'm sad to say closed because the manager, he had some health conditions, so he wasn't able to stay in business. But he would go to California and pick up dogs, because he would get them from he would get some that were from, USDA licensed facilities, but he also got some from people that, like hobby breeders that would raise, maybe one litter a year or so.
Yeah.
And he was the one who, who would brought it to my attention about, how the, you know, these different retail rescues, and the rescue who actually rehomed my dog without permission, what they would do is they would go, they would actually pass by his store, and somebody there was actually stealing his signs advertising his business.
Oh.
And those signs were like about $100 a piece. So they'd stole like four of them. So he was out of, $400. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, you know, and there's been vandalism of stores and that type of thing, but I, you know, I'm an animal trainer.
On one other note, that was responsible for what happened to my dog. They actually folded because their nonprofit status actually went into default.
Interesting.
So they were, they closed.
Yeah. Well, probably good if they were doing that type of stuff, right?
Yeah. I a lot of times I'm like, well, that's probably for the best because, but somebody had told me if they had done this to me, they've probably done it to someone else.
No doubt. Yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. You know, the other part of this is one of the things that I said in my Facebook post that people were coming back at me is that there's a deficit of adoptable dogs in the United States. That's a fact. And people don't want to hear it. There's I think it's about a 2 million shortfall of over 8 million people would like dogs, and there's the adoptable dogs are in the sixes. We were importing over a million a year till the CDC.
I heard about that. The import and CDC banned
113 countries from imports for too young puppies coming over under 8 weeks, falsified records and certificates for rabies, and then strains of parvo and distemper that we haven't been dealing with. Interesting, there's this major outbreak of flus and stuff, right? Well, the other thing we're doing now.
That mystery illness, yes.
People, they're going down to the Bahamas and Puerto Rico and bringing dogs up to put in the shelters here. So we're taking a dog off the streets that's fending for themselves and loading up our shelters here. Our dogs aren't running loose here. These dogs that are in shelters waiting to be adopted, and they're not all adoptable. I'm a dog trainer. I'm an animal trainer, third generation. Heart breaks for the dogs. And what makes me mad about this situation is let's get the best minds to come together to figure out how we really penalize the people who are willy-nilly breeding or allowing the breeding of these bully crosses and these dogs that become aggressive or big dogs and not the right dogs for every family. Yes, if you have the wherewithal to be a leader and take on a dog like that, that's fine. But you've got a dog with a background that's unknown, the ability to, if they are aggressive, to cause severe damage. And it's not the animal's fault, but it doesn't mean there's not an issue here. You know, and my heart breaks for the animals, but they're not all adoptable animals. I've been to my own shelter and they assumed in this post, like you should go to a shelter. You should see what's going on. I never assume what somebody else has done or what their background is. It's such a ridiculous thing for them to assume that I am saying this and don't have, you know, the wherewithal or information or knowledge base to back it up. That's what really bothers me. We've become emotional. I see it on Facebook and it'll get hundreds of happy face and hearts that they brought somebody, some private individual flew over to the Bahamas or Puerto Rico and brought back dogs. I mean, really? Yes. Why? How? I need to understand why we're doing that. I don't understand that. Those dogs actually they're roaming around and they're street dogs, you know. They're not going to adapt well to life. In a home.
And it's not just it's not just those places too. I've heard of people bringing back dogs from other countries like Russia, the Middle East, like Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, and then let me think where else. Oh, there was a lady in San Diego who got caught selling dogs from Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few years back.
But they're the first ones to vilify the pet stores. and the breeders. And yes, it's just a shame because started out saying we should have a choice. You know, you want a choice. I want a choice. Mm-hmm. I've encountered a couple people recently.
And some of those comments you've actually mentioned on Facebook.
I've encountered
some of those comments on Facebook that you mentioned, by the way. I've had that happen to me too.
Yeah.
Oh, when I've spoken out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I would never,
some of these people are just,
even if I disagreed with them, I would never take that approach. And I offered every one of them. I put an open at everyone. I'd invite you to be a guest on the podcast and let's discuss this. Right. But it's like the movie Blackfish that SeaWorld had to deal with.
Oh,
I watched that movie.
That was a disgrace.
Well, I watched it a few times, and the first time, absolutely. If I just watch it and I take off my thinking brain, it's very emotional. Right. Mm-hmm. But again, I dig down on these stories. I have all my life because I've lived with animals and I know there's more to the story. So I watched it again and I challenged myself to find data and statistics and not be emotional at all. So I did this purposely, right? First time, watched it with the emotional bleeding heart and I had friends who had just mentioned it. Yeah. I watched it the next time and I looked for stats and like factual information, any kind of data or statistics or, you know, something beyond the emotion. And you know what? I challenge anybody to watch it with that eye. Any of these documentaries or things like that.
Yes.
Where are the numbers? Where are the stats? We can give you stats on the other side.
Exactly. They don't share like resources where they get these statistics from, because how I noticed that is two documentaries I've seen. There was one called you can find it on YouTube. It's called Dog by Dog.
Okay.
And they interviewed, you know, Wayne Pacelli, who used to be head of the Humane Society, and you know, a few other people. And then there was another one that HBO had on called One Nation Underdog. And it went through like three different aspects of like pet ownership and what have you. Like they showed this family who had to euthanize, I think it was their Rhodesian Ridgeback, because it had attacked someone. And then the second half of the documentary was this support group for people whose dogs had passed away. And then the third ended with the whole puppy mill.
Yeah.
The whole puppy mill sob story. And, you know, when I found somebody who had actually written a review on that documentary, and they actually had all the information to show that what was in that film was actually bogus. And that was really eye-opening for me, you know. So, and then, you know, as I watch the stuff and as I, you know, watch some of those things now, I'm like, you know, I just roll my eyes because it's like, I'm like, you're just lying. Yeah. None of this is true.
I think that what I would challenge people to do is to watch this stuff with not emotion, because as soon as we allow our emotion, what we're talking about is emotion, philosophy, ideology, right? There are people who just truly believe this is wrong. Well, I don't have a problem. If you believe something's wrong, you're entitled to that. But when you start legislating it or campaigning to legislate something that I actually want to partake in and is a legitimate business, I have a problem with that. It's like being vegan, right? Where they want to, you know, our schools to go vegan and such. We can all make that choice for our own families. We don't need you to legislate.
I thought that was a bit much.
Yeah, I agree. So this is that same scenario, but we live in such an emotional society. Of the dozens of comments on my Facebook post, they're all emotion-based, all of them. There's no reality in those, and they don't want to come and talk about it because maybe they're afraid I'm going to ask them for some numbers or statistics or expertise. Yeah. How about
that? And the funny thing about me, when I've actually, you know, spoken up, you know, defending the, you know, the breeders and what have you, and I get all these really rude comments from people, you know, telling me like all these, you know, the same kind of song and dance that you've heard.
Yeah.
And the first thing I ask them, I'm like, where's your proof?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you can go Google it.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, if you don't have anything to show me, why your point is moot.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, so, but here's the thing where I end up getting the last word. I post links to news reports and different things that I've found out. And a lot of them, they either get angry and deny it, or they just go totally radio silent.
Yeah.
And, you know,
same experience. And, yep. That's why.
And the funny thing is,
I thought you would be a good guest because you did.
Oh, thank you.
You did, write a thoughtful email and you provided links and you provided personal experience and expertise. You just didn't say, I saw this on Google or someone told me this, or I saw the commercial, you know? And so that's why there was a credibility to what you had to say, which I think made it important. So.
Right. And the funny thing is, years ago when I actually did some research, I think this was something that the USDA had documented. It was, I think this was put out about maybe 10 years ago. They had like the definition of like what's considered, you know, like as far as like a vendor that sells or offers animals to the public. And what it had listed on there was it had breeders, it had pet stores, it had rescues, it had shelters listed under the same umbrella as the definition of an establishment that offers animals to the public.
That's right.
So my argument to a lot of people, I'm like, well, if the USDA says they're all under the same umbrella, then, you know, it's, you know, like, I just think, you know, I'm like, your argument doesn't really have anything to back it up.
Right. And the other aspect to that is breeders that are selling commercially are regulated. The pet stores are regulated. Mm-hmm. And now there's more, through Purdue University, private program certifications that you can opt to seek in. Yet shelters and rescues are not regulated. There, you don't have to declare where those dogs come from. You don't have to, mm-hmm. you know, if you have the information, if you don't have to put that out there. They're not, one of my problems with that is they're not even required. They could kind of sweep they're aggressive under the mat. Like, we never saw it. We didn't see them be aggressive. You know what I mean? And one of the podcasts I want to do coming up is going to be about euthanasia, which is really, really tough topic. But I'm just seeing a glut of...
Yes, very controversial.
Yeah, even our community shelter, our government shelter in this, our county shelter is what I'm trying to say, gets hammered because, you know, people say, oh, mm-hmm. they euthanize so many dogs. These are people who don't have any solution. They're not solution-based. What are you supposed to do with the animals that are not adoptable, that are aggressive or, you know, have some kind of issue? I'm not a huge fan of euthanasia, but I think I'd rather see an animal mm-hmm. be put down humanely than live its life, you know, waiting and hoping for something or, you know, be stuck in the shelter. So... Right. It's again, just an emotional base. That's a podcast topic for another podcast and probably several.
And one thing I've noticed in California, there was actually a shelter that actually was placing dogs that had a bite history, but they weren't telling anyone.
That's exactly what
they
weren't
telling anyone about.
Yeah.
And this one woman, she was attacked by a German Shepherd. She was volunteering at the shelter. She was, you know, she had taken him for a walk and she was getting ready to, you know, like, you know, put him back in his kennel. And this dog attacked her.
Yeah.
So she sued them. She sued them and she got, I think it was maybe like $3 million.
Oh, boy.
$3 million. But it was like, They could have avoided because if they were aware that the dog had a temperament problem, it was like that dog shouldn't have been made available or, you know, to anybody.
Exactly.
And another issue too that I've heard with people who try to adopt dogs, and this is another reason why they go to the pet stores or breeders. There are some people who have tried to adopt and they go through all these, they jump through all these different hoops with these rescues and then they get rejected for some usually like some outrageous reason. And in my case, my family, when I was young, we got our first dog from a rescue, but the woman who was in charge of it, what she didn't tell us was she didn't tell us that our dog wasn't purebred. So when my parents found out, they were upset, and she said, "Oh, just bring the dog back if you don't want the dog." And my mother said, "No." My mother said, "No. My family is attached to this dog. We're going to keep her." But she told her, she said, if she kept on about this dog, she was saying, you know, she was going to, you know, press charges for deception. So, you know, it just ended at that. And the check that we had written my parents had written to, you know, pay for her adoption fee, they were able to get the check canceled. So we basically ended up getting a dog like almost pretty much for free. And I had her for 11 years. She was my best friend. She was also a beagle mix, but
yeah,
I think her previous owners, I think they had mistreated her because she had some very high anxiety issues, and she was afraid of men.
Right. So, well, I will say,
and after that,
I will say that, as a dog trainer, I see a lot of dogs that people assume have been mistreated. I have one right now in my care, Otis, my big poodle.
Oh.
And I know for a fact that he wasn't like mistreated in handling. He was neglected. But you would, if you saw him, you would assume somebody had wailed on him because he cowers at everything. Well, it's just, lack of training. He doesn't know anything. He's much better, right. So he's not at that point now. But he did not have any foundation training. So it's kind of like a child. If they're not taught, you come out really not knowing anything and kind of open to everything. But there's a point as you get older and you're not instilled some lessons, you get a little fearful, like you don't understand things and nobody's given you any confidence. So it's just one of the things I always tell people, because with horses and dogs, someone will say a guy in a black hat did this to a dog because he doesn't like guys in black hat or they don't like this. I don't necessarily worry about that when I'm training, because I always know it's about the foundation. But boy, I really appreciate you coming on and talking with me about this. I'm going to give you the last word to kind of what you would want someone who maybe is opening their eyes a little bit. What would you tell them to consider and to do to beyond listening to our podcast to kind of learn more about this?
Well, my thing is just do some research. And what I do is I actually, on Facebook and on YouTube, I look up, there's different breeders I look up, and I've actually seen like some of the behind the scenes photos and videos that they post of their dogs and their kennels. And it's the total opposite of what some of these animal rights groups post. And there's some pet stores that actually share like where they get their dogs from and things like that. And my thing is when I've gone to the pet stores, where I bought my own dogs, I actually Google the breeders and just to see what I can find out about them. And one other thing I wanted to say too is why this matters so much to me is because during the pandemic, I've been looking for, you know, a dog, and I've heard, you know, different things about dog theft going up and things like that. And why it matters to me is because in the future, I hope to raise, you know, service dogs. So, you know, that's something I would love to pursue one day because I'm disabled myself. So I just want to, you know, provide something that I know will help other people.
You and me both. I have a real desire to get into service dog training and understand it and try my hand at it. So, and good for you. I appreciate, you know, you will experience firsthand how that can help you with a disability. So
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Emily, thanks so much. I appreciate your being willing to come on and be transparent about your story and maybe help some other folks understand that there's, in fact, a lot more to the story. So thank you. Hopefully, in listening to our conversation, you are taking away what I say on every episode, which is find out for yourself. Go see for yourself. As I said in the podcast, I ventured into a store not even intentionally about the puppies, but it happened to be a store that had puppies. And I took time to go read the little plate cards beside their kennels and such. All looked good. Nice little puppies. And it had most of them had the parents, pictures of the parents and their registry through the AKC or there's another one as well now. So, you know, if you want the choice, and apparently many people do because the pet stores that aren't being put out of business are still in business and they're being put out of business by the Adopt, Don't Shop movement. There is just so much more to this story. And I would also say to you, does it really make sense? When you think about it, you're being told that all pet stores are horrible, all the puppies are sick or lead a terrible life. It just doesn't make sense to me that there's a whole group of people who are just like you and I, who have families who care about people and care about animals, who work at pet stores or breed dogs. So when you assume that the entire industry and everybody involved in it is bad, you assume that there are a lot of people turning their heads to some untoward and negative things. And does that really make sense? The other aspect of this is we encourage you to do your homework. Well, I can tell you, if you go online and even with AI and you Google some of these about the Adopt, Don't Shop or that, you'll get plenty of information to support the animal rights contention that everybody should go to a shelter and get a dog, that their shelters are overcrowded, and that puppy stores and puppy mills are terrible in anybody who breeds dogs. So you're going to have to dig a little deeper. And you might be 11 or 12 pages into Google or your search engine, but look for actual stories, look for numbers, look for data, look for statistics. And I could tell you, as always, there are great resources like the National Animal Interest Alliance, the American Kennel Club, the Cavalry Group, Protect the Harvest, and many more. And I'll drop those links in show notes. And at least you can read the other side of the story. Also, I hope you'll benefit others by sharing this podcast. Please subscribe. Click that subscribe button and rate and review it. And it'll help others hear the rest of the story. As always, thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time for more Animal Tales.